welcome to WhiskeyCast, featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. Coming up on this episode, we'll look at the new issue of Whiskey Magazine and get a preview of this spring's Whiskies of the World Expo in San Francisco. First off, though, a personal note. It's been just over a month since the debut of WhiskeyCast, and I'd like to thank all of you who've emailed me your comments. So far, there have been nearly 1,000 downloads of WhiskeyCast episodes from all over the world, and I mean that literally. Whiskey lovers in at least 25 different countries have downloaded the show, and I really appreciate your support. If you have suggestions for what you'd like to hear on WhiskeyCast, please email me, comments@whiskeycast.com. Also, if you like this show, let me recommend a couple of other sites you might also like. Radio Whiskey is Tony Dirksen's podcast for whiskey lovers. It's on the web at radiowhiskey.com. And Kevin Erskine publishes a highly informative blog at thescotchblog.com. Now, in the news, if you've ever wondered just what happens to the money you spend on a bottle of whiskey, the Wall Street Journal may have an answer. In last Saturday's article on whiskey finishes and new products, the journal also tried to break down just what happens when you buy a $100 bottle of scotch in the U.S. It breaks down something like this. About $30 goes to the retailer. The distributor who supplies the retailer gets between $15 and $20. The company that imports the whiskey makes $10 to $15, and that leaves between $35 and $45. Taxes vary depending on the state, but there are three levels of taxes: state, federal in the U.S., and the U.K. excise taxes back in the U.K. The Scotch distiller gets what's left of that $35 to $45, and after production and marketing costs, there's not much profit left. Of course, the percentages do vary in other countries. One of those countries is Canada, where the Victoria Whiskey Festival will be held the weekend of January 20th and 21st. Organizer Lawrence Graham reports there are very few tickets left for the event. There's a link to the festival at whiskeycast.com. Also coming up on the 25th of January, it's the traditional Burns Night celebration. If you know of one that you'd like us to feature on the events calendar, email me. Issue number 52 of Whiskey Magazine started arriving in mailboxes this week, and this issue has a decidedly down-home flair. It starts with the cover, and if you're of a certain age, you may remember the original Dukes of Hazzard TV series about some good old boys down in the South. There's a great article on how bootleg whiskey helped fuel one of America's fastest-growing spectator sports, NASCAR stock car racing, along with features on Kentucky's bourbon whiskeys. Whiskey Magazine editor Dominic Roscroe has a few more details.
Our literature piece is on Truman Capote and Christmas in the American South. We've got a distillery focus on Oban Distillery on the west coast of Scotland. And we've got a major piece on Tullamore Dew, which is an Irish whiskey, which is currently having a very good time.
And that really sort of goes into the heritage of Tullamore Dew, not necessarily the whiskey itself, but the town, correct?
It does. It looks at Ireland is one of those places where there are a number of brands, and there is nowhere for you to go and really visit and see where the brand came from. But Tullamore Dew is still very much, even though there is no distillery in the town, there is a heritage museum, and it looks at how the canal served the town and how whiskey took off as a result and got into the main centres and was able to be exported. It looks at a little bit more. It's more of a tourist piece more than just about the whiskey itself.
Of course, there's also the monthly tasting panel summary.
The whiskies that really stand out in the new releases section is a young P.T. Isla whiskey from Beaumont, which is being marketed by one of the Europe's bigger whiskey shops, Royal Mull Whiskies, which is on the Royal Mull in Edinburgh, but they also have a London shop. And Isla does well, as always. There's a very good Brook Laddie, a 15-year-old Brook Laddie that scores very highly, and a Bernard Harvin, 27-year-old independent bottling. So Isla is dominating, as it always does. But also there's an interesting Speyside whiskey, so a 1972 independent bottling of a Glenlivet, and a very high-scoring Glendullen, which I have to say I'm looking forward to trying because I haven't tried it.
By the way, Dominic's also getting ready for the Whiskey Live festivals this spring in London and New York. We'll hear more on those events in future episodes, but I'll give you a hint. If you like Highland Park single malts, you might want to be in New York on April 5th. Tickets go on sale February 7th. This spring has a calendar full of great whiskey events, but the biggest is the Whiskies of the World Expo in San Francisco on March 24th and 25th. Thousands of whiskey lovers will be on hand for the expo, which starts with a series of master classes on the 24th at the Hotel Monaco. Organizer Rhiannon Walsh decided to try something different for the main event, though.
We're going to hold that on the San Francisco Belle, which is a docked Mississippi paddle boat. It's on the Embarcadero at Pier 3, right, you know, short walk from downtown San Francisco, just a few blocks from Union Square. And it's a huge boat. It's a really cool boat. They restored it, and it's seaworthy, but we're not going anywhere. We're just sitting still. And it's got four decks. The top deck is a semi-open deck, and then there's three fully enclosed glass-walled decks. And each one of those decks still has the old gambler's cages at the end, which are actually functional bars. And so on the three interior levels, which all have little, like, outside porch, or I don't know what they call them on those boats, catwalks or something around them, so you can walk out and get fresh air whenever you want. Each of those three levels will have exhibition tables, just like we've always had in the ballrooms at the hotel. And our band, we bring in the Peninsula Scottish Fiddlers every year. They play for us, and some bagpipe people. And our book signing tables with Jim Murray this year, and all our whiskey books and different whiskey stuff, related spirit stuff. On the top open deck, this is a real benefit to the boat. On the top deck, we are going to have Benji Menendez come. He's an old Cuban family cigar maker, one of the last left around. I think he's the last living brother in this particular family. And he's going to do a masterclass with cigar and whiskey pairing on the top deck.
Most of the whiskey industry's leaders will be at the expo, and there are usually a few surprise releases announced every year. Tickets are already on sale. There's a link to the expo's website at whiskeycast.com. And Rhiannon's been busy with a new project. She's been nosing whiskeys for years, but never found a nosing glass that she really liked. So she decided to design her own.
Well, the thinness of the glass, for one thing, it feels wonderful against the lip and in the hand. It's got a curved lip that brings the spirit right across into the tongue sweet receptors immediately. It's got a bulb that is actually capable of holding close to 8 ounces of liquid, but it doesn't look that big, so it's beautiful for a tasting table pour, or you could even mix up like a little mint julep or something in it because of its capacity. It's very deceiving in the way it looks. It's got a small stem, so it can be comfortably nestled into between the fingers and into the palm. And swirled, very well swirled. And as John Glazer said, you can swirl this thing all over the place and nothing jumps out at the top. And he's a very aggressive swirler, so when he was trying it out, that was one of his big comments. And it focuses the aromas intensively because the neck is elongated. And so it's really, to me, it's every characteristic I ever wanted in a glass, all put into one.
The hand-blown glasses come in two levels, a sturdier model for daily dramming and a luxury model for those special occasions. They're also available through the Celtic Malts website. That's all for this edition of Whiskey Cast. Next time around, we'll look at how mixing whiskey and the right foods can make a holiday party memorable. Whiskey Cast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2005, and comes to you from the charming yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.